scattered abroad greetings. My brethren, he's talking to us. Everybody say he's talking to me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And I notice he didn't say if, he said when. When. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith and with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Everybody say, bless the Lord. So, again, we find out that we as born-again believers and Christ followers, that we are to make progress and profit from our troubles and trials. Now, it didn't say when they come. It didn't say if they come. It says when they come. So they come, and sometimes they come pretty frequently and often. We'd rather it not be, because nobody likes troubles and trials, but they are, as God wants us to look at it from his wisdom perspective, they are for our progress, our profitability, and our promotion. Everybody say progress, profitability, and promotion. So you can think about it. Every time something bad starts to happen, every time a problem comes into your life, every time pain comes into your experience, life experience, then there's the potential from God for you to make progress, to profit from this, and to be promoted out of this. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he said, count it all joy. So James, by the Holy Spirit, gives us the answer keys to profiting and making substantial positive spiritual progress through and from trials, troubles, and tests of life that the enemy brings. Hallelujah. So he says, count it all joy. So you start with accounting. How many occasions do I need to rejoice? How much do I need to rejoice in this situation that I'm facing right now? Now, James Barclay translation says, consider it maximum joy, my brothers, when you get involved in all sorts of trials. So that means I need to maximize joy. That means I need to turn up my joy level. That means I need to rekindle my joy. And unfortunately, sometimes Christians, we get so engrossed in our feelings and in our flesh, we let that dictate our joy level. We'll sit around the house bored and feeling sad and sorrowful for ourselves because we're going through some type of physical challenge or going through some sort of financial challenge or going through some sort of relational challenge. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So in other words, you got to keep your joy level set on high to expect to receive from God. What is it? Profitability, progress, and promotion. Praise God through this whole situation. Now, if you just got up and combed your hair and came to church, you should have something to go home and chew about all week long. All right? So he said, when you encounter these various trials, tests, or trouble. So you can think about physically, mentally, relationally, financially, whatever. Why do you need to count it all joy? Well, the Barclay translation says in verse 3, well aware that the testing of your faith brings about steadfastness, or another word is endurance or perseverance. It's cheerful endurance. It's perseverance. That means you mature and you grow in that situation. You don't just relegate to groaning. Oh, why am I going? But you grow. Everybody say growing is good. Everybody say growth is God. That's his objective, right? Praise the Lord. And so steadfast has its full place so that you may be completely and rounded out with no defects whatsoever. That means you lack nothing. In other words, joy gives you patience, cheerful endurance, and staying power. So it helps you stay in a position of faith while God is working on your miracle in your life. Because when without the miracle working power of God and the miracle power of grace, our faith has nothing to work for. But when your faith is intact, you're staying in position. You're steadfast in your faith. You're being unmovable from your faith position. And that gives time for God to work his miracle and his mighty power on your behalf. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. That's good stuff, isn't it? And so while he's working all things together for your good. So remember, faith rejoices. Faith gives thanks and is glad. How do you know I'm in faith? I'm rejoicing. I'm giving thanks and I'm glad. How do I know I'm doubting? When I'm complaining, worrying, and I'm sad. I think some people think that's holy, that's sanctimonious, that's keeping it real, that's, you know, I can't help how I feel. Well, those are cues and phrases from the world, not from the word. Those are things from the world. So if you spend too much time on social media, everybody's telling you how they feel. They're giving those fake smiles, showing that they're happy. So you let the devil trick you in thinking they're happy, I'm not. When God has blessed you, he's brought you through many things, but we can't rejoice and we can't give thanks because we're worried and sad and complaining. That just shows we've moved off of our position of faith into doubt and unbelief. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So, faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. I got to highlight in yellow. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Those are telltale signs what position am I in. When the trial is beginning, or the test, or the trouble is beginning in my life. If I can't make a choice to rejoice, I need to ask for more wisdom. Amen. Because if we're just leaning on our own knowledge, we said there's no reason for me to rejoice. There's no reason for me to give thanks. Do you see all this trouble? Do you see all this trauma in my life? And particularly if you have a disposition from your flesh to always be melancholy, sad, have a bad mood real quick. You know, you show it on your face that I'm upset or I'm unhappy. If you have that type of natural flesh position, you need to grow. You need to ask for wisdom. Lord, I need to. Because the first level of joy is what? Anybody remember? Come on, class. Wipe the frown off your face. That's the second one. That's the second level of joy. So you got to notify your face that, look, I can't be looking like melancholy, like I've been sucking on sour prune juice and sour lemons. Long lips, long pouting. When you're a doubter, you are a faith and fire putter outer. When you're a doubter, you're a faith and fire putter outer. I just got that. That's good. That's a good. Amen. And so you won't let everybody else know how much trouble I've seen, how much trouble I'm going through, how much trauma I'm experiencing. Right? See, Satan brings the trial and the trouble to tempt us to doubt God, to distrust God, to defect from our faith and confidence in God. Because God doesn't cause trouble for his kids. He's not a bad parent. He's a good father. So he doesn't bring the trial, because further down in the chapter in James 1, he calls the temptation evil. God doesn't operate in evil. He doesn't put your hand on a hot stove and say, I'm going to teach you about fire, son or daughter, and burn your hand and say, that's evil. That's a temptation. It's like when you have younger kids, if they're playing with matches or playing with fire, you tell them not to do it, right? You give them wisdom as a parent, but they go and sneak around the corner and try to burn stuff. And next thing you look at the burned up paper towels in the trash can. Or they burned their hand on the stove because they didn't believe your wisdom. They were tempted to distrust you. The same happens when Satan gets involved in your life. He tempts you to doubt God. First, I got to get you off your faith. Then he teaches you or tempts you to distrust and defect from the wisdom of God in this chapter. These first four or five verses, count it all joy. Knowing this, and let patience have its perfect work. And so you become not wise, you become foolish, and that's what the devil wants to make you. Turn you your faith into foolishness. Because you think, I'm righteous and I have a right to be doubtful, to be a doubt peddler. I'm telling everybody how rough it is and how hard it is, and I'm trying to live right. No, you're not. You're doubting. You don't trust God. Because you didn't make a choice to rejoice. You want to skip the steps. You say, well, I got a better way to do this. I know how to handle this. No, you don't. God says, if you lack wisdom, ask me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so you defect from your faith and confidence. Satan's goal is that the trial and the troubles make us bad and bitter. Uh-oh. Right? God uses it. Not that he didn't cause it. He didn't bring it. He didn't put it on you. But God uses what Satan brought to you. He uses it for your good. He said, this is an opportunity for you to do what? The three P's. We said it before. What? To make profitability, to make progress spiritually, and to promote you spiritually. Everybody say profitability. Progress and promotion. So God uses that trouble. He uses that trial to work it out for your good. But you first have to stay in your position of faith. Because your faith is under fire. Your faith is on trial. Your faith is being tested. Oh, I'm preaching better, good, better than y'all saying amen. So he uses that trial, trouble, test in order for us to pass the test. And he gives us the cheat. He gives us the wisdom key. He says, you got to count it all joy. Well, that doesn't seem right. You got to rejoice. No, that doesn't seem like the right way. No, you need more wisdom because you're acting and drifting toward unwise or foolishness. Your best rejoicing time, your best praising and thanksgiving time is when you're going through the toughest times and the most tense moments of your life. If you're not doing it, then you're invited to ask for more wisdom. Because why aren't you doing it? You need to know wisdom. Answer. Ask for wisdom. No. Why? What's stopping me from rejoicing? What's stopping me from counting it all joy when I got this big pressing need or problem in my life? Amen. Amen. Because when you're not walking in wisdom, I'm talking about God's wisdom, then you have the potential of drifting into unwise and foolish choices. Amen. Everybody getting this so far? So God uses the trial, trouble, and test in order for us to pass the test and promote. And experience victory on another level because we trusted him and trusted his plan. We're giving you the plan right here. We just read it this morning. Count it all joy. What does that mean? I got to turn up my joy level. I got to wipe the ugly face and frown off my face because I can't act. I'm sad. I got to rejoice and be glad. I got to smile. Everybody smile for me. Praise God. Smiling is better. It takes less muscles, less energy to smile than to frown, right? And then you have to start laughing. right? And then you start, the fourth level of joy is generosity. You can tell when people are going through because they tightwadish. They skip giving. They jump skip tithing. Generosity is the fourth level of joy. He wants you to, he loves a what kind of giver? Cheerful giver. A joyful, hilarious giver. You know your giving will shrink down immediately when you when you're not your joy level is low. Because you don't want to stretch and you certainly don't want to sacrifice. Because joy is not running in you. All that junk and drama is running in you. And you care about what? Just me, myself, and I. Even if the Lord said, give your last dollar, last dime. You're so happy about it. You're laughing all over the table when you're running your card or you're putting your envelope together. You're just laughing. God loves a cheerful giver. And that's the fourth level of joy. Generosity. And then the fifth level is singing. You sing songs of what? Declaration. You should be singing songs of proclamation. And you certainly should be singing songs of adoration. So songs of declaration, you're declaring the word around your house, in the atmosphere of your home. You're declaring it to the devil. You're bold enough to talk back to him and sing songs that declare your victory, that declare your triumph. Come on now, that declare your breakthrough and blessing. Now, I want you to examine your week and see, am I singing songs of declaration? Because God doesn't want you just listening to music. He wants you, your lips and your heart to make the music, to sing the music. You can sing along with a song, but it should be coming from your heart through your lips to declare your victory, to declare your triumph, to declare your breakthrough. Because faith laughs at impossibility, but faith sings about the outcome before the onset. Faith sings about the outcome. I'm already singing in victory. I'm not even through this situation, but I'm singing about victory. I'm seeing victory. I'm smelling victory. I'm dancing about victory. Praise God. And when you're not doing it, you're invited. Ask for wisdom. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, ask for wisdom. Everybody look at somebody next to you and smile real good and say, have you asked for wisdom? Look at somebody else around you and say, are you asking for wisdom? All right. So you sing. Sings of, songs of proclamation. You, that means you're telling the world, the devil, and everybody will hear you who God is, how big God is. Nobody's bigger than my God. I proclaim his name. I proclaim his blood. I proclaim his power in my house. I proclaim his power over my finances. I proclaim his healing power in my body. You might be saying, I feel good, I feel fine. But you say that as a faith statement. Now, body, get in line. Hallelujah. You got to proclaim the word over your body. You sent your word and healed me and delivered me. Then there's songs of adoration where you're not singing about the Lord. You're not singing what the Lord, about what the Lord has done. You're singing your love to the Lord. I love you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. That means you keep your love relationship between you and the Father and you and the Lord Jesus very hot and on fire. Because you need to love him more than yourself and how you feeling at the moment. You need to love the Lord more than your family and what their proud field opinions are talking to you at the moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I got my new shoes on, Greg, and I'm feeling a running spell right here. Praise God. So whenever we forget these answer keys, we haven't arrived at victory. Whenever we forget the answer keys and haven't arrived at victory, we're offered and invited to ask for wisdom. Everyone say, ask for wisdom. All right, what does it say? If you need wisdom, and don't be prideful, and don't be, when do you need wisdom? When I don't know what to do. When I don't know what to say. When I don't know how to pray. When I don't know how to decide and do something that very moment and day. Y'all need to ask for wisdom. Some of us should go through the rest of this month every day asking for wisdom. Because the Lord will give the Lord opportunity to bring you out. He said, ask for wisdom. Ask who? Our generous God, and he will give you, he will give it to you as, he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. You might have made 10 mistakes, 10 bad decisions, 10 unwise choices previously, but asking for wisdom when you're in trouble, when you're in a trial, when you're in a test. And he says, when he will give to you generously, in the other translation I read, he will liberally. That means the image in the Greek is a banquet table. So a banquet table spread, a full of spread, a banquet table that has every kind of wisdom on it. So he's going to give it to you liberally. He says, which one do you want? You want some of this? You want some of this? Financial wisdom? You need marital wisdom on your marriage? You need wisdom about your relationship with your kids and your siblings? You need wisdom when you're going to work on a job? Better, more wisdom, higher wisdom on the job? You need wisdom for your physical body and your ailments that you're experiencing right now? You need wisdom for your mentals or your mind and your emotions because you can't sleep good or you're always worrying about stuff? Come on now. Everybody say a banquet table. He said he'll give to you liberally. He's not going to say, you can't eat here. You're not allowed to eat here. He's not going to rebuke you and say, get back. You don't deserve wisdom because you've been making bad decisions for the last month. No, he's going to say, here it is. Here's the banquet table. Pick up, put on your plate whatever you need. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Come on, let's just thank God for that. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. All right, next slide, Lee. Thank you. So we're encouraged to walk in wisdom. But let me read a couple more scriptures to you. Let's see here, where am I? Okay. All right. Oops, I went too far here. Sorry. On my own notes. Proverbs 3:21 through 23. My child, never drift off from these two goals in your life. Listen, what are the two goals? To walk in wisdom, Proverbs 3:21, and to discover discernment. Everybody say walk in wisdom and discover discernment. So walk in wisdom and discover discernment. Praise the Lord. And of course, it says don't ever forget how they empower you. Those two things empower you, for they strengthen you inside and out and inspire you to do what's right. This is in the Passion Translation, Proverbs 3:21 through 23. You will be energized and refreshed by the healing they bring. They give you living hope to guide you, and not one of life's tests will cause you to stumble. One of life's. Walk in wisdom, discover discernment. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Discernment is your ability to distinguish between good and evil, godly and ungodly, holy and unholy, righteous and unrighteous, right people and wrong people. Because sometimes wisdom will tell you you're hanging around the wrong person. You're too exposed to the wrong people. You know, one of the wisdom things that were told to me this year and years before is that, you know, Lord, I said, why am I hearing the devil run his mouth so loudly in my ear, in my, he said, you're too close. He's got too much access to you. So the wisdom was close off the access. You know, and that's why he said, read Psalms 91. And I read in the Amplified, and there's a verse in there that says, inaccessible. When you're in your secret place of the Most High, when you're in under the shelter of the Almighty, when you're in the place of El Yon, when you're in that place in the Spirit, in Christ, then you don't hear the critic, the condemner. Praise the Lord, because he's inaccessible to you. But I had to ask for wisdom, because the devil is a nagger. He'll wake you up and start. He's in your ear. He's in your head. You're going to bed. You can't even sleep. He's in your head. He said you're too close of a proximity to the enemy. You need to come up here in the secret place of the Most High. Somebody said, praise the Lord. So that's discernment. So God will give you wisdom and discover discernment. Why am I tormented with the devil's words and thoughts too much? I'm a child of God. Well, I had to make an adjustment. I had to get wisdom about my daily devotion and my daily position in Christ. That's a hint for some of y'all. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it'll help you take the wrong people. Now, some people, even in my life experience, God said you need to cut them away. It's good. He said it's good. And he, the Lord would say it to me like this. It's good to have a long distance relationship with them. Because when they're around you, you know, everybody, most people will take you down like escalators. Some people will get you stuck because misery loves company. But some people will take you up. He said, you're not hanging around enough future bearers in your life. Future bearers? What is that? That means they hold your future. See, a mentor is not a counselor. A counselor puts you on the couch, you lay back, and you tell them about your problems. He said, you don't have enough mentors. See, a mentor in your life will help unlock your potential. And not just talk about your problems. See, some people only look at the pastor as a counselor. That's part of my office, but that's not the highest level. So what do they get used to? They become religious, just come and tell you about my problems. Well, so religions do that, right? They tell you go in this booth and talk to the priest. And you confess your problems. But that's a lower level wisdom. There's a higher level. Praise the Lord. So I told him, who's my mentor? He told me, poop, poop, poop. And so we listen and we hear them all the time. We read their books. We follow them closely. We go to their meetings. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs a pastor. That's wisdom. Everybody says this is the wisdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So do you realize in every family, in every church family organization, you see this? There's what? There is problems to be solved. There's challenges to be addressed. And there's tensions to be managed. So we have to understand what? The reality and the experience of pain and problems is unavoidable. But our response to pain and problems is our choice. Now the scripture says this in Psalms 34:19, New Living Translation, the righteous person faces many troubles. What kind of person? A righteous person. Everybody say, that's me. Faces many troubles. So that should be something locked into your wheelhouse or your mindset. That I'm going to face problems. So I'm either coming through a problem, I'm getting through a problem, in the middle of a problem, or about ready to face a problem. Now, if you got to change your mind, you got to renew your mind when you hate persecution and problems and pain. Because there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. As long as you got faith in your spirit, challenges are going to come. Because the devil is always going to tempt you to vacate your faith and take up doubt, fear, and unbelief, and distrust and abandon God. And if he can keep you that way, you never make progress, you never get promoted, you never experience any profitability through the Christian life experience. Everybody see what I'm talking about? That way you could be 10 years, 20 years in the body of Christ and never leave the first level. Because God is faithful and just. He'll never promote you beyond your level to handle it with your faith. But he'll always be faithful to give you another opportunity, give you another chance. But the key here today is when you're not passing the test, when you're not experiencing and arrived at victory, you should ask for wisdom. Oh, this is good stuff. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, let's look at three things people do with problems or pain that they shouldn't do, but they're not wise, they're unwise. So responses of pain is our choice. I can't make you choose to respond correctly. You have to make that choice. Amen. So the first one is to curse the pain or problems. When I do, I become bitter. When you curse the pain, you're saying negative or bad things about pain. I hurt. I've always got this stuff going on. This is always bothering me. I can't stand it when stuff breaks down. I talk out of a place of worry or anxiety, so I'm saying things that are negative. So I'm too quick to respond to pain by cursing it. And everything gets done or everything comes undone by our speaking. So because we're cursing the pain, we're becoming bitter. Bitterness, according to Hebrews, says we fail and fall from grace. And the root of bitterness springs up and it troubles us, and many people are defiled. Bitter people walk around hurt all the time. And they hurt other people most of the time. Number two, they nurse the pain. When I nurse the pain or problems, then what do? I become a blamer. You know, you shouldn't blame somebody for your body breaking down. But blame transference is one of the first consequences of sin and disobedience. It's that woman's fault that you gave me. They're the blame. And the woman turns around and says, "Is the serpent that beguiled me?" So you don't take responsibility for your own choices and actions. You blame other people. It's because of my bad tail or my disobedient kids. It's because somebody done me wrong. It's because they messed up my finances. They did something that caused me emotional trauma. It's always them. They, the other people did it. You're a blamer. You're nursing the pain. You're nursing the problem. When you rehearse the pain or the problem, you become what? You batter. When you do that, you batter and bruise yourself. So you do self-sabotaging, self-defeating behaviors. That's the word in the Bible that's wrapped up in the word we know as iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is self-sabotaging, self-defeating behavior. That means I stick a knife in my own stomach. I pull a bullet in my own chest. I hurt myself. I make myself work. Like today in the psychology world, they say you're a cutter or you're a runner. Some people can't even be still to listen to God. They're always cutting themselves and running from the problem. Everybody say, preach it, pastor. Everybody got real quiet on me right now. What's up with this? But I had to make a choice. I'm going to reverse the pain. When I do, I get better, and I experience God's best. Three of these are unwise. One of these uses the wisdom of God. Everybody say, ask for wisdom. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, listen, this is a beautiful verse right here at the bottom. Listen to this. And we're going to close in a minute. I'm going to give you a couple of things. And it's all right if we pick it up here next week. We'll pick it up here next week. Because I got a lot of notes. So. All right. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Each what? So that's an adjustment we had to make with our faith and with our wisdom. Right? Each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. Let your roots grow down deep into him and draw up nourishment from him. See to it that you keep on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving and for all he has done. Somebody say, praise the Lord for all he has done. Now listen to this again. In James chapter 5, James chapter 1, verse 5, Amplified Classic. If any of you are deficient in wisdom, so now you should be thinking bigger about wisdom, putting a higher value and a premium on wisdom. If any of you are deficient in wisdom, let him ask of God, and the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and he will give it to you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, let me give you a teaser of this in a picture. Next slide, and we'll close with the test. All right. So remember the wisdom. We'll go two slides. The wisdom we talked about, the wisdom pyramid. Where should we draw wisdom first and foremost? The word, the Bible. What does God say about it? And then what? At church. Because you get truth in the Bible. You get led in things and make decisions from the Bible. You get teaching at church, right? And then we talked about nature during the offering teaching. That's nature. But the last place you need to go is to Google. Or go to social media. And some of us spend so much time on social media. Social media will practically, if you're not careful and watchful, it'll make you unwise because you'll waste a lot of time and get a lot of foolishness and see a lot of flesh. All right, nobody's going to shout amen to that. But I'm just saying what they push on front of you, they want you to follow your eyes and not your faith. Praise the Lord. All right, next slide. I'm not going to read that one because we read it last week. All right, so everybody see this? Real quick. So this is the truth of the picture. So for every test or every problem, see, God turns the test, the trial, the trouble into a test. Oh. Yes, thank you. God turns the trial and the trouble into a test. Thank you. The test is an opportunity. So when the test comes, sister, you say, this is another opportunity to trust God. This is another opportunity for God's word to come true on my behalf. This is another opportunity for God to get the glory through my life. But sometimes foolishness or unwise thinking is, this is not an opportunity. This is just a big obstacle. This is just a big problem. This is a lot of pain having to deal with this, especially when you're dealing with your body. But see, this is an opportunity to demonstrate your potential and maturity in who you are in Christ. God offers you wisdom to pass the test and promote you to victory and growth on another level. But the temptation that the devil brings with the trouble, with the trial, because remember, God didn't bring it. He uses it. He brings it and he tempts you. And says, this is an obstacle Satan brings to get you to opt out of your faith. Go into what? Doubt, unbelief, fear. And that's not of God. You won't pass the test that God is using that whole situation that you're in for you, not against you. Everybody said, thank God for his wisdom. So everything you're going to ever experience and go through, God says, I'm going to turn it around for your good. If you're only seeing it as a test and an opportunity for you to pass. Praise God. And so you opt out of your faith and you abandon your trust and confidence in God and his word. He offers you the devil, he offers you a counterfeit to victory, which is what? Relief. When the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will with the temptation make a way of escape. Way of escape is a way to endure it. Cheerfully. Count it all joy. Right? But the way the devil offers a way of escape, it says, I'll get you relief. You go back to disobey God. Distrust God. I got a better way. This is the same thing he told Eve. The apple eating the fruit, God said, don't eat it. They said, oh, we can eat it because the devil said we can make us wiser. He's a liar. It makes you foolish, right? So here you are. Here's the start of the test. This is a person who has inward poverty because they need to grow, but they haven't grown, particularly in wisdom. Now, Jesus, our Lord, the Bible says in Luke 2:40 and verse 52, he said he increased in wisdom and he grew in wisdom. Guess what we should be doing? We should be growing like Jesus grows. That's why we put those scriptures as the theme and anthem for our children's church, our TWC's kids. They need to grow in wisdom. They need to increase in wisdom. Increasing means I'm advancing. Now, in a school context, you advance to the next level. You advance to the next grade. You get promoted to a higher level. He gives us all a starting measure of faith. Romans 12:3. We all have the same, a measure of the God kind of faith. But what we do with it and how we grow with it is our choice. So he wants your faith to grow on another level. But if you stay on the other side, You're basically revealed, I've got inward poverty. What is inward poverty? It's the test reveals you have responded poorly and at an increasing rate, and you have failed to act obediently. So instead of counting all joy, instead of knowing this, you're saying, I'm going to count this occasion to pout and be in a bad mood and tell everybody about my problems, about my pain. I'm going to walk around the house moping and groping and groaning. You're offered wisdom, but you didn't act with wisdom. So you're inward poverty. Inward plateau means I'm going through it, but there's little to no progress. So I'm not making any progress. So your test reveals you have not matured and have become stagnant in your growth. I don't have enough wisdom to get through this. But he says, what? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. I haven't arrived yet to victory. I haven't arrived yet to the manifestation or the answer I need. Ask for wisdom. Because we don't want you plateauing. We certainly don't want you poor or poverty inside, but we need you progressing. Progress means that that the test reveals that you have grown and responded better than ever. You see it coming over the horizon, and you're going, woo, Glory to God. I'm starting to rejoice right now. Already another opportunity for God's word to come true in my life. Another opportunity for God to get the glory in and through my life experience. Another opportunity for God's word to be proven true on my behalf. I rejoice because thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. And I'm going to come through this smelling like victory, praise God, shouting the victory, praise God, seeing victory. I even see the victory before the onset of the problem and the pain. So I rejoice and I'm glad and I'm thankful to the Lord for this opportunity to pass this test and to receive promotion and to receive progress and productivity. Nearly every moment of life is a test. So you're offered to invite to pass the test. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, next week, we'll show you the 10 tests that are common to everybody. And you said, that's a lot of tests, Pastor. We'll show you that. We even have this up on the CCB. So if you want to download and study here, that'll be better for me because you're more prepared to receive next week. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So part two next week. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you and we glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. Thank you for the opportunity to receive your word. Come on, let's just lift our hands and thank God for receiving his word.